13. And we'll read again verse 9 to 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithe of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have come to the climax of this worship service, where we seek to hear from your word. Oh Lord, speak to us. Use me just as a vessel to speak to your people and help us to understand your word and even put it in practice, so that we'll be able to live holy lives which will be pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Again, we're having a very short break this Sunday only in the book of Leviticus. And I will be having such short breaks, especially on the third Sunday of the month, so that we go to other places of the Bible where we'll be reminded of the truths of the gospel. As we prepare to go out to evangelize to the lost. Going to consider this portion of scripture under the title, "You Can Approach a Holy and Just God." Only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because you do not have your own. In my personal evangelism endeavors, I always prefer to ask this question. I ask, if Jesus came back today, or if you die today, would you go to heaven? And interestingly, many people answer yes to that question. And indeed, a bold yes many times. And my follow-up question is always, what makes you think you'll be able to go to heaven? Sadly, many people in response to that question will be pointing to their supposed righteous deeds as the hope of which is that the hope in them. They will say things like, I pray every day, I go to church. I'm a minister, I'm in the choir. And so they will say, and they'll go ahead and say, well, I'm not perfect. But I'm trying to work hard for my salvation. So such people are trusting in themselves, their own supposed righteousness. And their religious activities. As they're trusting that as the basis for them to go to heaven. And sadly, they have deceived themselves into doing that. And they think that they will be able to approach a just and holy God on such a basis of ground. I'm sure there are those who are listening to me this time who fall in that category. And such are the people whom our Lord described in this parable which is before us. We read in verse 9 that he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. After telling his disciples the parable of the persistent widow, which aimed at telling them something about the perseverance in prayer, Luke records that our Lord went ahead to tell them this parable as well. And in telling parables, our Lord purposed to teach and illustrate some higher truth, high spiritual truth. And as we have seen in this parable, he aimed at rebuking those who trusted in their own righteousness and even went ahead and despised others. Because those people who have their ground of their trust and confidence within themselves, within their hearts, within their supposed goodness, they trust in their so-called outward holiness, even religious exercises, and go ahead even despise others whom they think are sinful, I'm almost sinful than them. And of course, this is a display of pride, which is sadly seen even in very many people today. Even those who are true Christians. And if that's your case, if you're a true Christian and you have such a thought of self-righteousness, you think that you're better than others, you need to seek the Lord's help again and again to put to death that pride which is in you. Because as a believer in Christ, you ought to be the most humble person ever. For those who trust in Christ for righteousness, feel that in themselves they are poor, wretched, blind. They feel that they are guilty and they cannot on their own approach God. And they are willing to admit that others may be far much better than them. So they suddenly despise no one. If you're truly a believer, you are not supposed to despise anyone. And the word which is translated here as treat with contempt or despise means to throw others beside oneself into one class. Yes, to say that, well, apart from me, the rest are sinners. And this was typical of the Pharisees of old. They thought they were very righteous and others were very sinful. And of course, it's a typical character even of sinners who do not know God even up to these days. And as I say, that's a deception. It's because you deceive yourself. You don't know who you truly are, and you keep on deceiving yourself that you are righteous. And this is the people whom he describes here, and we read in verse 10 when he says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. In this parable, the Lord uses two characters of people who were considered to be totally contrary to each other. The Pharisees were people who considered themselves to be very righteous. They always sought distinction and praise by outward observance of external rites and outward forms of piety, like washing of hands, ceremonial washings and fasting prayers, and even giving of alms. And although they neglected genuine piety, they prided themselves on their supposed good works or good deeds. The tax collectors, on the other hand, were a class of people who were hated, not by only Jews, but even by other nations. Because of their employment, because of the harshness, greed, and deception with which they did their job. And many Jews consider them to be traitors of their nation. And actually, the word publican or tax collector became synonymous with sinner or pagan. But even today, there are so many who have the character of Pharisees of old. As I've said already, I have no doubt that there are some who are listening to me here who have such characters, who think they are righteous and despise others. And in verse 11, our Lord describes what this person did when he came to the temple to pray. He says, the Pharisee standing by himself prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, and even like this tax collector. It is recorded that he stood by himself, meaning that he did not even come closer to this publican. Because he thought he would be polluted by him if he came closer to him. What he did is like what Isaiah writes in chapter 65 and verse 5. Of those who say, keep to yourself, don't come near me, for I'm too holy for you. So this Pharisee thought that he should not even come closer to this sinner, publican, tax collector, who is a sinner, and he was holier than him. But look at even the content of his prayer. It's like he thanks God. He says, by thanking God, he has no need to ask for grace or for anything apart from thanking God. Of course, it's commendable that he recognized that he was what he supposed that he was because of God. But to add that I thank you that I'm not like other men is an expression of pride and arrogance. Because it shows he despises these other people whom he calls extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and straight away even the tax collector. And he goes ahead to even mention the things he does so that as he earns his merit to go through who he is and what he does before God. When he mentions in verse 12 that I fast twice a week, I give all the tithe I get. According to the law, the only fasting it was only once recognized to be fasted, not twice. So for him, he said, I even go beyond what is prescribed in the law. And giving tithe, he emphasized that he gives tithe even to of the smallest things, which even our Lord said they give tithe of cumin, of even the smallest spices. But of course, as I've said, this was a display of pride and boasting before God and thinking that he's coming before God because of his own merit. And sadly, this kind of pride is even among believers as well. And probably you as a believer, you look at other believers and see yourself to be more, to be holier than them. I know you who are reformed despise, for example, the Pentecostals. Probably you also go to prayer and say, God, I thank you that I'm not a Pentecostal, I'm not like Pentecostals. Because maybe you say, because I know more sound theology than them. They don't know how to pray, me I know how to pray. And so by doing that, you're actually boasting and you're despising them. Of course, there's no problem with you thanking God for changing your life and enabling you to know what you know. But when you start thanking him and comparing yourself to others, you be despising them and it will be a show of pride and boasting. And sign of self-righteousness. This self-righteousness is also very common among married people, even believers. Maybe many husbands say, I thank God, I thank you God that I'm not like my wife, or I'm not a wife saying I'm not like my husband. Because she's the one who causes trouble in this marriage. But me, I'm okay, me, I'm perfect, I'm holy. She's the one who is bringing all this unhappiness. Oh, friend, if you are doing that, that's pride, and it's because you do not know your state. You should pray that God helps you to understand that you're exactly the same as your husband. You are all sinners who need God's help again and again. But this is true, especially among non-believers. And because of maybe the many murders which are going on around us, Probably you as an unbeliever, you're saying, God, I thank you that I'm not a murderer like these other people who are killing others. But I want to tell you that you're speaking, you talk like that, or think like that, like this Pharisee. Because first and foremost, you don't know the true nature of God. You don't know this perfectly holy God, whom we read of in Isaiah 6, when the angels of God, the seraphims, cry and say, "Holy, holy, holy." Meaning he's holy, he's holier, he's holiest. His eyes are too pure to look at sin. Even as one of Job's friends says in Job chapter 15, verse 15 and 16, is, behold, God puts no trust in his holy ones. God puts his trust, puts no trust in his holy ones. And the heavens are not pure in his sight. How much less one who is abominable and corrupt. A man who drinks injustice like water. So our God is a perfectly holy God who cannot tolerate sin. And this is the reason, if you think that you are righteous because you are not considering his righteous character. And it is because you are comparing yourself to other men and not comparing yourself to God. And by doing that, you are setting a very low standard for yourself. But compare yourself, your supposed holiness, to the righteous, to a perfectly holy God, and you find that you fall below the standard. Hence you know that you will not be able to approach such a perfectly holy God through your own righteousness or supposed righteousness, but you need on the righteousness of Jesus Christ to approach such a perfect and holy God. But secondly, such people do not also know the justice of God, are ignorant of his perfect justice. Because the God of the Bible is a just God who does not sweep sin under some cosmic rug or just ignore the sin and let them go without his justice being satisfied. He's a God who cannot be bribed. The way people bribe the police to let them go free because of the crime they have committed. I heard of a story where a man, before he died, he told his family members when they were going to bury him that they should bury him with a box, a suitcase full of money. So that when he reaches heaven, he gives that money to God and lets him into heaven. Sounds like a fable, right? But reality, people think like this. People think that can bribe this just and holy God. Well, sadly, many people have made a God of their own imagination. Who is not the God of the Bible. Secondly, people think like this Pharisee, and if you are here, you are thinking like this Pharisee, because you do not know yourself well. You are ignorant of the impurity of your own heart. The imperfection of your own obedience. It is amazing to see that so many people consider themselves to be basically good. Try it out today, go out there and just randomly ask people and ask them, are you a good person? You hear what they'll say. Yes, many of them will say, yes, I'm a good person. It's because they do not know the depravity of their hearts. But friends, sin has affected every part of every human being, everywhere. And as the Bible says, there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who does good, not even one. So if you think you're righteous on your own and you're doing good, it's because you do not know yourself well. And sadly, it's because you do not know the nature of the righteous law of God. You're only familiar with the letter of the law, but you don't know the spirit of the law, the spiritual nature of the law of God. You are like this rich young ruler whom we read of in this very chapter. Who came to Jesus and asked him this question in verse 18, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And because he was seeking what he should do, so our Lord also pointed him to the commandments. Because if he was able to obey his commandments perfectly, then he would inherit eternal life. But interestingly, when our Lord points him to the Ten Commandments, he says this. He says in verse 20, he says, let me 21, you know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And in 21 he said, all these I've kept from my youth. Showing that he did not understand the spiritual nature of these Ten Commandments. And you may be in the same case when you say, maybe I've not killed, I've never committed murder, so I'm better off than this murderer. But hear what the Lord said in Mark chapter 21. Chapter 5 and verse 21, he said, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother, and some versions add without cause, will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to hellfire. And also the Apostle John said, if everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. So with this spiritual knowledge of the commandments of God, do you still say you have never murdered? The truth is you have murdered, you have committed murder several times. and you're exactly in the same place as those who have committed a physical act. And the same applies to all the other commandments. When you understand the spiritual nature of the law of God, you realize that you have broken all of them many times. Even believers. And that should make you abandon trust in your supposed righteousness or supposed obedience to the law of God. And your hope should be in the finished work of Christ and Him alone. All those of you who are still in your sins, all that God would reveal your nature to you this very day. Like He did to this tax collector, whom we read in verse 33. Sorry, verse 13 of chapter 18, where we read. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It shows that by the grace of God, this tax collector knew the true nature of God. And he was also enabled to know his own sinful nature. And rather than comparing himself to other men, he compared himself to the righteous nature of God. That's why even as they approached the temple, it says, for him he stood far off. Probably the Pharisee rushed in, but for him he stood far off. That is not knowing the public and knowing that he's not worthy to approach this holy God because of his sinful nature. He understood something about his guilt, that he was a terrible sinner, unworthy to approach a holy God. And shame and sorrow for his sin even prevented him to look into heaven. For we read that he would not even lift his eyes to heaven. But rather beat on his chest, expressing his sorrow and repentance for his sin. So expressing his, the hatred of himself on the account of his sin. Oh, that this will be your case for those of you who are still in your sins and are hearing me this time. Oh, that this will be your reaction as you think about the perfectly holy and just God, and as you remember that you're so sinful. But if your attitude is not like this of the tax collector, you need God to awaken you from your spiritual slumber. And enable you to see his holy character and your sinful nature. Oh, that he may be pleased to do it in this very moment. But even you as a Christian, is this your attitude as you approach God?
Do you see yourself as helpless and hopeless without Christ? Are you able to say with the Apostle Paul that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief? Or for you see yourself as worthy to come before the presence of God, and you are able to come there without any contrition or any humility? If that's the case with you, I plead with you to examine yourself to be sure. It may be that you have deceived yourself to think that you are Christian, and yet you are not. Examine yourself, test yourself to be sure that you are in the faith. So the tax collector, because of the realization of his nature and the nature of God, he did not even plead any merit before God. We see that he utters this simple but powerful prayer when he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the word translated here as merciful is not the usual word for mercy. Rather, this is a word which means atonement or propitiation. So this tax collector was actually saying, Lord, let my sins be atoned for, let my sins be propitiated for. He realizes on his own he is not able to approach a holy and just God. That's why he pleaded the free grace of God and the merits of Christ as the only Savior. Oh, friend, you who are stealing your sins, I plead with you to copy this example of the tax collector. Abandon all hope in your supposed good works and put your trust in Christ and Him alone. May you use the language of this hymn writer, of the Rock of Ages cleft for me. When he says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress, helpless look to you for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Oh, may this be your prayer if you are here and you are sinning your sins. Turn to Christ this very moment and trust in His righteousness alone. Because you have no righteousness of your own. I plead with you to do it before it is too late. Because you are in a very terrible state now. In your sin, you are like a blind man who is being led around by a dog. And then suddenly the dog sees a bone and runs after it. And now the blind man is left
alone and trying to move on his own. And whatever step he takes brings him closer to a cleft. Any time he could fall there and die. You are as a sinner, you are in that particular state. Repent and turn to Christ before it is too late. You never know, he can come back today, or he can call you today. Turn to him. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a holy God. Repent like this tax collector. And if you do that truly, it will be true of you as what is written in verse 14 of this tax collector. When we read that, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Yes, why was this tax collector justified or declared as right with God? Because ultimately he was enabled to trust the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And also the perfect obedience. He trusted the perfect obedience of Christ. For it is Christ and him alone who render the perfect obedience to the law of God. You and I break that law of God on a daily basis. But him alone came and voluntarily placed himself under the law and rendered a perfect obedience to it on your behalf. And he went on the cross of Calvary and has suffered there as a substitute for your sin. There all the sins of God's people were put on him, and the wrath of God fell upon him. So the justice of God was satisfied, and the wrath of God was appeased. That's why when any sinner turns away from their sins and puts their trust in Jesus Christ, God declares them as legally right with him. Because of what Christ did on their behalf. And those of you who are in Christ, how grateful you should be to God for this amazing love and mercy which has bestowed unto you. How should be grateful that on your own you could not approach such a holy and just God. It's only through Christ and what he did that you're able to approach him. May you seek to express your gratitude moment after moment as you seek to please him in whatever you do as a believer. Seek again and again by the power of the Holy Spirit to put to death the sin which remains in you, so that you live a life which will be pleasing in God's sight. And do not allow the devil to tempt you into despair because of the remaining sin in you. Because the devil knows how to come and tell you, well, you say you're a Christian, you say you're a child of God, but look at the sin in you. See, you're still very sinful. Yes, so you tell him, yes, I'm still a sinner, but the evidence that I'm a child of God is that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been put on my account, and the work of the Holy Spirit is continuing in my life. Tell him that even this very moment, by faith, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And of course, your hope is only the righteousness of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Without that, we'll be all heading to hell. Let's keep trusting Christ and humbly seeking His help on a daily basis. To enable us to please Him. And as a Christian, you have no ground of boasting whatsoever. Christians ought to be the humblest people on earth. As you thank God for all He has done for you, as you thank Him for exalting you into His love and communion, and as you wait for Him to exalt you into heaven to enjoy the glory of God in the face of Christ forever and ever. Oh friends, thank God on a daily basis and seek to honor Him. For those of you who are still in your sins, may you run to Christ again before it is too late for you. Amen. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for reminding us of our hope, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. On our own, we are not able to approach such a holy God. Help those who are still in their sins to turn away and turn to the Savior. Turn away from their sins and turn to You, O Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.